Okay, meeting will come to order. This is Governmental Operations and Veterans Affairs today on April 6th. We have a quorum and approval of minutes. Representative Hoppe.
Madam Chair, I have reviewed the minutes and they look fine to me and I would move their approval.
Okay, thank you. Representative Hoppe moves approval of the minutes of the April 4th meeting. Any discussion? All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails and minutes are approved. Thank you. Okay, members, we just have two bills up today, and so we'll go till about noon or so. The first bill is one that we've been talking about from time to time over the last couple weeks or so related to legislative reform, and so we're going to be moving that bill out to rules, and as you can see in your packet, there's several different amendments that we'll be discussing today. And the second bill is, we're just going to do an informational hearing on that. It relates to the redistricting commission, and, you know, that won't happen until after the next census in 2010. But we thought it would be good to get some ideas out on the table to discuss here over the next year or two. So we'll do an informational hearing on that and then lay that bill over. So with that, I'll turn the gavel over here to Vice Chair Severson. And I will move that House File 3781 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Rules Committee. And then I'm going to go in the testifying chair, and Representative Loeffler, if you could join me there as well.
Welcome to your committee, Chair Tingelstad and Representative Loeffler. And since the bill has been moved, go ahead and address the bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I feel like sort of Groundhog Day on this bill here. I think we've started it three or four times and have run out of time, but realizing that this bill is going to rules, we didn't have to worry about the second deadline. And so I thought it was more important as a committee that we get as many of the other bills through as possible. So I appreciate the committee your hard work over the last couple weeks with first and second deadline. This is the legislative reform bill, and I know that many of you are co-authors on this bill. I appreciate your participation, and I think we'll be able to take even more ownership of this bill today as we go through the various amendments. And Mr. Chair, as I mentioned before, this bill, House File 3781, is a bill which has basically three or four issues rolled together based on discussions that we've had over the last 6 months or so. And then those issues were broken out into three separate bills as well, and those have been traveling through the legislature. Representative Loeffler has one of those bills, and I have two of the bills. And kind of similarly over in the Senate with Senator Kiskaden, Senator Rest, Senator Higgins. And so I checked with the Finance Committee chairs because we want this bill to go directly to rules without having to stop in a Finance Committee. And so in order to do that, we need to pull out a couple of sections on this bill so that there's no financial implications on it. And so, Mr. Chair and members, my first amendment, oral amendment, would be to strike Section 5 of the bill, the appropriations, and then I'll come back and actually, originally I was going to strike all of Section 3, but I think we're going to keep part of Section 3 in. Okay,
and
so Section 5 is my oral amendment to strike that section at this time.
And members, Representative Tingelstad moves to strike page 4, lines 4.10 to 4.12. Any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, nay. And your amendment is on.
Thank you, Mr. Members. And actually, there is one other word I want to switch here to as a quick oral amendment. On page 2, line 29, in discussion with the governor's office, the last word in that line, for 1 week, we'd like to switch that to 2 weeks. So actually it would affect the last word in that line, and then I suppose we need to add an S after...
Okay.
Oops, strike that. We're going to go with 10 days instead of 1 week. So take out the 1 week and make it 10 days.
Okay. And Representative Engelstad moves line 2.29, strike the word 1, put in the number 10, and on line 2.30, strike the word week and put in the word days. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, nay. And
Mr. Perry members, and then I'll let Representative Loeffler do this next part to strike part of section 3.
Okay. Thank you, members. Apparently, for ease of committee or processing here, we've been asked to, on page 3, section 3, to delete the provisions about the single subject. Apparently, Ways and Means would like to further explore that on their own.
And what lines would that be?
And that would be lines 10 through 20. And on, we would change the title on lines 9 to Conference Committee Considerations. And on line 21, we would delete the C in the parens. So the new section 3 would have a title called Conference Committee Considerations. Lines 10 through 20 would be deleted. And on line 21, we would delete the C.
Representative Kahn.
Then I think we've got to do something with the D.
Oh, excuse me. And D would... Mr. Shepard, should we do 1 and 2? I never understand what you do, A and B.
Mr. Shepard, at that point.
Madam Chair, or Mr. Chair, and Representative Loeffler members, perhaps on 3.21 would be paragraph A and 3.29 could be paragraph B.
Thank you.
I will just write that up accordingly.
Okay.
And then, Mr. Chair, members, Representative Loeffler's amendment up, so that would make it so that this bill would not have to stop at the Ways and Means Committee, according to Chair Knobloch of that committee.
Thank you, Representative Tinkelstad. Any questions to the oral amendment? Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Nay. And the motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And I think the first one we'd like to take up is the A7. And I believe we talked about this a little bit when we had the bill up previously, and it's based on a bill or a couple bills that had gone through our committee separately prior to first deadline. So, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the A7 amendment.
Representative Tinkelstad moves amendment H3781A7 amendment. And to your amendment, Representative Tinkelstad.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. So this is a bill consideration time frame. I know there's been discussion through the years that a lot of times we don't have enough time to look at the bills on the House floor before we need to take a vote on it. And so this would put some things in statute to make that time frame more reasonable. And perhaps Representative Loeffler has some additional information.
Representative Loeffler.
Well, members, I think the best improvement on this, and the committee may disagree, but compared to what you saw before, I think this is the one that you saw before that was prevention of uninformed legislators, and it's now bill consideration time frame, although the other title was more fun. but I think, I know Representative Scalzi said that she's been bringing to some of her town meetings the stack of the budget bills that we passed last year, saying, the huge stack of paper, the actual printouts, and saying how it was so difficult as a new member to try and have to make a decision on that huge stack with so little time to even understand what topics were addressed if you weren't on those particular committees. And the goal of this is to just say, for those members who don't serve on the conference committee, they have a chance to look at the bill and actually understand what it is that is before us in a little more detail.
And Representative Loeffler, so this bill puts a timeline on the between when the bill has come out of conference committee and when the bill actually comes to the House floor or the Senate floor for a vote?
Right. This is Representative Erickson's bill that we had a previous hearing on, and it does allow for a significant majority of the members to overrule the time frame if there's a sense of urgency.
Any discussion to the amendment? Representative Kahn.
Yes. Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm actually devastated that you changed the title of the original amendment, which I thought was a much more exciting process that we should go to. I actually thought that we would do something to the legislature, and so I had written, for that one, I had written a substitute amendment, which has just been passed out, and I would like the authors to look, and where you understand that this is supposed to go under the title of the prevention of uninformed legislators, and I guess I'd like the authors to look at this and see if they'd like it incorporated into their bill. I think it was.
And Representative Loeffler.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kahn, well, actually, you may have noticed that when we earlier discussed this, I said that the title was much too expansive, that if we really were going to do that, we needed a long amendment.
Well, that's exactly what I presented.
To that part, Representative Tinkleson?
Well, Mr. Chair, members, I don't know if Representative Kahn is officially moving this. I assume it's kind of...
I gave it to the authors to see if they want it moved. If you want to seriously do something on this issue.
I think this is a little bit too comprehensive for what we're looking at this point, so maybe if we could save this for future consideration, this might make it so it has to go to the K-12 committee, the Health and Human Services committee.
Okay,
Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, I won't offer it at this time. And I do think it's a very interesting prospect.
Representative Kahn withdraws her amendment. Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to ask Representative Kahn if she could please explain the bottom part of the amendment. But since she's withdrawn it, I guess she doesn't have to explain.
No,
Representative Kahn, would you like to explain?
Proposed text.
Well, the exact way I would do that is I would immediately refer to the chairman of the committee and ask for an explanation of it.
Any further questions on... let me see where we're at here.
We're on the A7.
The A7 amendment. Other discussion on the A7 amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. And the amendment is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And I believe this replaces the A1. So you can probably pull the A1 from your package there.
A1 is pulled. And which amendment would you like to take up now, Representative Set?
We'll go with the will of the committee. I know Representative Hosh has several, Representative Olson. So the committee administrator, Mr. Gackle, may have some direction to go with this.
Any preferences, Mr. Gackle? Okay. Do we have an A2 amendment? A3 is the next amendment, members. We'll go with the A3 amendment. And Representative Tinkleset, would you like to move the A3 amendment?
I don't think any more of these are mine, so...
Representative Posh, would you like to move the A3 amendment?
I would, and thank you, Mr. Chair. The A3 amendment actually is somewhat in accordance with page 3, line 21 provisions on the bill that we're considering. What this amendment would do is, if the conference committee report comes back with substantial changes within that report that hasn't been passed by either the House or the Senate, that the bodies would then be able to rule that the content of that report be referred to the Rules Committee for a vote. My concern on this is that through our conference committee process and oftentimes under the pressures of a special session or the end of regular session, that oftentimes we are voting on or considering legislation that couldn't pass either body. And that's something that I would like to see prevented. And if we're going to pass legislation, that it gets a full airing in at least one of the bodies and that it has the support of one of the bodies. This still allows, in circumstances, if the Rules Committee or the body chooses to have these bills move forward, but at least it puts the responsibility onto the legislators or in the committee members. So I'm open for discussion, would hope that people can support this.
Representative Kahn, to the point.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think that this is pretty much a good idea. I thought that we pretty much had this in House rules. that we can't, and I thought we had something similar to it in joint rules. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure that we have it in House rules in terms of what the House rules can consider in conference committees, but I don't remember. I'm going to use this opportunity to call to the attention of all members of the committee a chance that you'll have to vote on this principle coming up very soon when the state government finance bill comes before the legislature. This refers to what happened in last year's state government finance bill. So it's a somewhat complicated story. What happened was that the state government finance bill had an abolition of the statutory reference to the commission on the Legislative Commission on the Economic Status of Women. I tried to get this out in committee, and that did not work. And so I then went to the House floor, and proposed the amendment to reverse this action. In the course of having a discussion on this amendment on the House floor, it became apparent to Chair Seifert, who is carrying the bill, that this amendment was very likely to pass. I think he went and saw a couple of members. I was quite sure that all the members of my caucus were voting for it. He found that a bunch of the members of his caucus were voting for it, too. And and so what happened is that he came to me and said, if you'll remove the roll requirement for a roll call, you know, I'll accept the amendment and it will and it will pass so that we'll take it out of the bill. Now, I did remove the requirement of the roll call. I think it was a little sloppy on how much he accepted it and what happened, but it did work. And so it was stricken by a noted vote on the House floor. There was never such a provision in the Senate. It comes back from conference committee, and there's the removal. I mean, this is much more egregious than just not being passed. There's the removal of the Commission on the Economic Status of Women that, and as you call, this was one of the few votes that we did pass. And it's in conference committee, so you can't touch it, you can't amend it. It's obviously not an important part of the conference committee when we're looking at the whole funding of this part of state government, and this was one of the few bills that did pass before the deadline. Okay, so that's been done, and this was not part of any agreement as to what was to happen. I think the agreement was that we didn't need a legislative commission anymore, but the action would be kept up in the legislative coordinating committee. So what happens next is that in the course, certain people like Senator Lowry, maybe Representative Tinglestad, I'm not sure, certain people who were very concerned about this, then prevailed in Representative Gunther's jobs and economic, whatever that is, conference committee, to put that back in, and to put back in the language. There was no issue of funding. The funding was completely there in the Legislative Coordinating Commission. They put the statutory language as to what this does back in. That was passed in the in Representative Gunther's conference committee. So everything we think is okay. It's obviously something that will be considered in the next budget session, you know, as is appropriate. And it's appropriate, I think, to keep the language in the statute until it comes, you know, until the legislature votes to take it out. Representative Seifert comes in with the committee version of the state government, the omnibus state government finance bill. I think the bill he so offered to let you take things into today, Representative Stevenson, and there's that section back in. Which now sets a sunset date of June 2007, which, you know, it will be considered in 2007. It just changes the odds on how you consider it. So I tried to remove it in state government finance. Representative Seifert's argument was he doesn't like one conference committee to undo what another conference. Oh, you're here. I'm so glad. I'm not impugning you when you're not in the room. But you've heard it before. So Representative Seifert then gives this long speech about how it's not, or probably just a few words because he had the votes, all he's doing is stopping one conference committee from undoing the effort of what another conference committee had done. But that conference committee was precisely in opposition to what the rules of the House had been, and also to this proposal that Representative Haas is now bringing before us. So I hope, as we vote on this, whether we vote for it or not, you will all take the opportunity to possibly, to properly show that you intend to do what the spirit of this is, and when I offer the amendment to Representative Seifert's bill, vote with me and vote against him to keep it in. So that's just saying, it's nothing to do with this bill now, it's just telling the story about why this is necessary to discipline recalcitrant members.
Any other discussion to the A3 amendment? Representative Tingelstad.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a question for Representative Haas. So how do you view this amendment as far as the ability for the public to see and understand what's going on in those bills?
Representative Kahn. Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I think it's important that we put this in statute and that we can refer to this as being law. Our rules and joint rules, I think oftentimes are inside politics that we have here, and for the public to be able to understand that we have instituted statute that says, you know, this is the way that we ought to operate. It's not going to, I don't think it's going to give greater information to the public on the content of every conference committee report. We struggle enough as legislators to know all the content of conference committee reports and omnibus bills. But I think this just puts more teeth into how we should be operating. Our rules, I mean, from my short time here, can be subverted in many ways and oftentimes overlooked. This just adds another provision that says, you know, this is how we ought to operate, and this is, you know, this brings transparency and honesty to the process. So, and it also allows any one member to object, and it's still up to the ruling of the entire House. So it keeps the majority and minority type of operation still intact, but at least the public is going to know where we stand on these issues if we do have a vote on them.
And I'm thinking of, I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, where we had an item that was put into the binding bill that was not carried on in either House and showed up in conference committee, and it had been put in, notably by a lobbyist. I don't know if that rings a bell to anybody, but it caused some significant consternation to the point of actually being a violation of statute. And I can't recall exactly the specifics on it. Would this amendment address that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would definitely think it would. If there was an objection by a single member of the body, they could have it removed or take the entire conference committee report back to Rules Committee and have a ruling done on by Rules Committee. Hopefully this would be something that prevents us from moving in the direction that Washington has with pork barrel projects and those type of things, as you kind of mentioned, of what happened a couple years ago.
Representative Olson, to that point.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I apologize that I was delayed and not able to be here earlier, because these are, I'm encouraged to find out, one amendment we've already adopted. This is definitely an amendment going in the right direction. But I'd just like to comment, and forgive me if I've covering something, or cut me off if I'm covering something that's already been covered. But to the point of this amendment and whether or not it would address the concern that I think I understand you to have raised, let me point out that, especially for those in local government, they know the amount of hours we put into local government issues and annexation in particular, and our previous chairman had to deal with it as well, sitting to my left here. Representative Dempsey had to deal with that issue as well as others before him, because it's been going on now for 14 years. That issue started with this exact occurrence, what this amendment is trying to address. The provision that has been fought over for 14 years started by as a provision tucked in a conference committee. It had not passed either body. It failed in committee of one body's. It was not voted on by either body, and it was tucked in conference committee. And for 14 years, we've had the kind of fighting and Hatfield-McCoy activity on that issue since. Now, to this amendment, The only concern I have is that if you think in terms of what we have today, if that occurs, we can get up on the floor and move to send it back to conference committee, and a simple majority can do that. That action gives us the ability to hold the conference committee accountable. The difference that I see in a quick read of this amendment is that we're going to take the issue into our hands and move it to our rules committee to address it. That's really the only difference that I see here. We're still holding them accountable, but then it has to go back, so it's a longer process, more likely at the end of session going to be an unworkable process, but still might be the process we want. I'm not meaning to speak against the amendment. I'm just trying to clarify some issues that I see, because we currently have the ability by simple majority to hold them accountable. The concern I have is that realistically, if we really want the conference committees to feel like they're going to be held accountable and it's going to be a strong measure of accountability, we should be saying that they cannot put these provisions in the bill unless they have passed both bodies, and if they do, it can simply be ruled out of order, period. Doesn't even require a majority vote.
Right.
That, to me, would be a deterrent from this happening. This requires a simple majority vote. We already have that threshold, and I just want to submit for discussion that what we really should be doing is saying, you can't put this in. It's already against the rules, and if you really want to try to do it, we can rule it out of order, period.
Well,
that's a threshold that I think would deter this kind of action from occurring. The question before us is, do we really want to deter the action from occurring, or do we want to deal with it, have the ability to deal with it if it does occur? We already have the latter. This is just another way to do it.
Representative Loffler, are you there to that point?
Well, this is on the amendment, and I just want to give Mr. Shepherd a chance to respond, Mr. Chairman. And that is, and I had heard when a similar sort of topic discussion was taking place in state government finance, that there's some court ruling that actually says your rules and your statutes have to conform together, that that's desirable. And I noticed at the top of Representative Hosh's amendments, we all have this applicability section. And I'm just wondering if in drafting this comprehensive bill, we should just have one applicability section that, you know, addresses all of these various provisions rather than having them by each one. And I just, you know, I just wanted to give Mr. Shepherd a chance to think about that before we, you know, we can deal with it later as we're dealing with various amendments, but just to think about whether you should have one provision rather than in each little section.
And Mr. Shepherd, I'll get back to you when you get a response. Representative Hosh?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with Representative Loffler on her insights on this. I mean, I don't oppose removing the applicability provisions as long as it's at the beginning of the bill and is all-inclusive of the content of the legislation we're considering today.
So is that an amendment to your amendment, Representative Hosh?
I would like to, Mr. Chair, I'd like to refer this to Mr. Shepherd if he can educate us if we can have this all-inclusive.
Mr. Shepherd.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hosh and Representative Loffler, perhaps what I would suggest to the committee, when these amendments were drafted, of course, the drafters couldn't assume that any or all of them would be adopted, so they each have a subdivision that says that the rules of the House and the joint rules must conform. I think it probably would be a good idea when the committee's done if you just wanted to instruct staff to say, however many of these you adopt, then we would have one section, as Representative Loffler suggested, that would say the rules of the House and the joint rules must conform to the provisions of sections, and then we'd list the various sections that you've decided to adopt today.
Well, Representative Hosh, to that point.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I completely agree. I think that can be done in you know, the rework of this bill after the amendments pass.
Okay. Representative Hosh, do you have something?
Yeah.
Okay. Representative Bleakley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to respond to Representative Olson's point. If I understand the way all of this works, I think the advantage that this has over the process that already exists is right now, if there's something in a conference committee report that wasn't approved by the body, and the body only has the choice to reject the entire bill and send it back to conference committee. this gives an intermediate step where members can vote to say, take a look at this provision, we don't like what's going on here, without voting to reject the entire bill with all the implications that that might carry. And so I like having this as a, I think what this amendment does, as I read it, it does deter that from happening. But if it should happen, or if there's a question about whether it's happened, it gives us a process to have somebody take a look at that, other than the entire body trying to do it on the fly, which is so, so difficult. And many members might be reluctant to reject a conference committee report just on the basis that some shenanigans happened in some section that really isn't of consequence to the entire bill. So I think this is a great idea.
Representative Olson, to that point.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Liebling. I appreciate your comments on this and colloquy here. As I began my comments, I noted that I think this is going in the right direction. I just wanted to try to clearly define what the advantages of this might be and define what I ended with, and that is, if we really want them to feel accountable and to not do this kind of action where they slip things in that haven't passed either body, if that's really our objective, I don't believe this is going to deter that as much as if we create the ability to object and then the conference report goes back. Now, I understand what you're saying, that a vote to reject the conference committee report can be construed as a vote against the whole report. This creates a process that allows you to define that I'm objecting to a particular provision. The concern I have is it's really unnecessary, if you look in lines 14 through 20, to determine that one body has passed a substantially similar policy in a bill or resolution form is something that we can all easily determine quite readily, especially if it's a bill. Because we can do searches on the internet, members that are carrying this legislation know and they'll point it out. It's a process to find out something that's really readily available information. And so to have to go through this entire process to confirm that seems unnecessary to me. I do believe it's going in the right direction. I think it should go much further, and there's other things we could do. In other words, if we can prove by vote of the body, with evidence submitted to the body, that a provision did not pass either body, we could create a rule so that the conference committee report could be amended to strip that provision out and send it back for final approval of correction. And then we're done, just like that. That, to me, would create the accountability. I mean, the question before us, I think, is do we really want to allow conference committee reports to play games and put things in that haven't passed either body? And I think no. So we need a strong measure of capacity to say, we're going to stand up to this, we're going to create the ability to stop it, and we could redraft this amendment to say that if a provision has been included, and an engine search on the internet with all the different bills, staff, research, questions being asked before the bill comes up, the previous amendment says we can't vote on a conference committee report for a day, so we have time to figure this out. That evidence will be there. Comes to the floor, we vote, somebody gets up, objects, says this provision, section number 3, was not passed in either body. I therefore move that that be stricken under this rule that I'm proposing here to create. And it's stricken. We send it back to conference committee report for the other body, for the conference committee to have to make the bills the same. Then it goes to the other body as a new conference report, and we don't have this 3-day process. We don't have the investigation of something that's finding information that's readily available to us. And I think it's a cleaner process, and we reach our objective.
Representative Peterson, to that point.
Representative Olson, if this were to happen, and if there was a policy where the committee could send a report that said this line 12 and 13 is new text, and we inserted it because we were negotiating and we felt this was the best way to reach consensus, and gave us a report that said why they did it, then the body could react and say, makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That way one person could stop the process. My concern, what you're suggesting, is one person, at any day, for whatever reason, just to pout, would say, object. Come back, object. So if there was a minority report that flagged it out, then the House, the body would have to say, whether it's logical or not. And if the body didn't think it was logical, kick it back. But create that opportunity for the conference committee to flex a little bit to get it done.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Wilson, let me go to Representative Hosh here first, Con, and then I'll come back to you.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to respond to Representative Peterson and say one member can object to the content of the conference committee report, but it does have to be sustained or upheld by the entire body. I don't want to just see one person come up and object to it and then send it to Rules Committee for the next 3 days. That's not my intention. So this still maintains the ability for the entire body to vote on this.
Representative Kahn.
Well, I do believe the inability to amend the conference committee report is in the Constitution. Is that true, Mark? Or is it just in statute? I don't know.
Mr. Shepard.
Mr. Chair and Representative Kahn, I don't believe that is in the Constitution.
Oh, okay.
The rules would have to be adjusted. The Constitution does require that bills have three readings on separate days, but I'm not thinking offhand of that. If I think of something, I will let you know.
Representative Kahn.
Okay. Well, my suggestion is that we... And the issue, that's why I like a committee looking at it rather than rather than one person making the objection or just the speaker making the decision. Because I think the situation that Representative Peterson brought up is true. If you have a compromise that's between two positions, how is that a new position or not? And those words that are there may not have been in either bill, but yet it may clearly be determined by a process more than just one person getting up and squawking about it, that this is a true compromise between, that this is a true compromise between two positions. I would suggest that we pass this, or at least I'm going to vote for it, that this be passed as is, and Representative Olson work on what he wants to do and see if he can come up with an amendment to that he thinks would work better. As we go further along in the process.
And members, we have several amendments here, so we need to move quickly. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I concur with all your comments. I appeal to you to not get, when I have lots of ideas and I put them out there just to make points, to not get confused with what I'm actually those ideas with what I'm actually advocating for. What I'm trying to say with this, Representative Peterson, you raise very good points. I concur totally with your points. What I was trying to say is that not that we go to the extreme, that this would be the strongest measure I could think of to stand up to a conference committee that's taking this kind of action, to simply allow somebody to object and it's ruled out. That, I'm not advocating for that. That's just the extreme position that really makes us stand. What I am saying is that a simpler process would be to allow this action that Representative Hosh is proposing to have the effect or to create the opportunity to actually take that provision out, create the ability. It's not in the Constitution that we cannot amend a report. It's in the rules and maybe in statute as well. That I'm not sure about. But it's in the rules. And we could create the ability to amend a conference committee report under these conditions, that it has a provision in it that has not passed either body or not related to a provision that's passed both bodies, which gets to the point you're making. And by a vote of a majority on the floor, we could take that provision out, send it back to the conference, so it's clearly a vote, to Representative Liebling's concern, that is representative of the controversy surrounding that provision and not a rejection of the entire report. And there's merit in your concerns, and then that prevents the 3 days. It creates a process that would work when we get down to those last 3 days. This amendment is problematic in those last 3 days. I will vote for it. It's a good amendment, but those are the concerns I see with it and the areas of the process where this won't work. And I think we can be more thorough, and I just share the ideas with how, and maybe we can do that going forward.
Representative Tinglestad, Representative Loeffler, any statements before we take a vote on this?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I think this is a good idea that we should move forward.
Representative Hush, last words?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just repeat what Representative Tinglestad has said.
Seeing no further discussion, the amendment is before us. The A3 amendment is before us. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay?
No.
The amendment is adopted. And members, we're going on to the A13 amendment. Is that yours as well? The A13 is a conference committee. And who is the author of this?
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, which one?
A13. H3781A13.
I'm digging, Mr. Chair. I've got four of them here.
There's a bunch of them. Anybody taking ownership of this one?
Mr. Chair, that one's my amendment.
Representative Olson, your amendment.
Mr. Chair, members, this what I've done is just to try to refresh your memories. When I had my constitutional amendment bill here, I had various provisions in that to prevent what occurred last year from occurring again. And this is one of those provisions. This simply says that after a bill or a resolution has been referred to a conference committee, that the conference committee has 14 days to report a joint recommendation to each house. And if it doesn't say this explicitly, but what it means is that if it also may be dissolved or replaced by a majority vote of either house, if the conference committee is taking action, say that we've just addressed with the previous amendment, tried to address. Let's say that they put in the annexation provision and we find out about it and we know it hasn't passed either body. The body could take action to call that report back or take action and stop the waste of time and hold them accountable right away and call for new conferees. So it's just a different place in the process to address the same kind of issue that we're trying to address after they've completed their work.
Let's have time to that point.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would urge that we reject this amendment. As a radical member of the minority, I actually should love this because this would totally allow us to stop the actions of the House. This is really, I think it really shows something for someone who hasn't come up with someone who probably hasn't been on a lot of really difficult conference committees. But, for example, one of the things we'd like to do is we'd like to have our big budget bills or difficult bills, sometimes difficult policy bill. I'm remembering one that I was on for the wetlands regulation bill. We'd like to have them get out as early as possible so that there's time for the public to look at it, there's time for people to get it in. Then, so if you're going to give them 14 days, you're going to put that into the worst possible deadlines of when the legislature is working its hardest. When, we've all had times this week when people have assigned to different committees and they've just been running back and forth and going to vote. It's worse when it's going from the fifth floor to the basement, I'll tell you that. And so I think this would just, this doesn't serve any purpose, and it would really complicate things as you get to the end of the session, and would work against some of the things that we want. Is more deliberation given to some complicated issues. I think the 14 calendar days is a totally arbitrary number. Sometimes it doesn't matter if the time being taken is 3 months or over an interim or something like that. And sometimes, the time's got to be 14 minutes, I've seen somehow, for the rewriting of some conference committee. So I'd urge that we reject this. Although, if it's passed and we're still in the minority, I'm going to have a very good time using this.
Representative Olson,
I will guarantee you a special session.
Representative Olson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kahn, you make some very interesting comments and without examples to substantiate them. And I almost wonder if you aren't in the minority anticipating being in the majority opposing this amendment. And with all due respect.
Well, Mr. Chairman, just to make a quick comment, I've been in the minority when I've been in the majority, too. It's not very new.
Mr. Chairman,
I can usually outthink ways to muck things up better than anyone else in either caucus. So.
We have an odd, Mr. Chair, Representative Kahn, we have an odd disconnect on this amendment because I can relate to the same.
Representative Tinglestad.
Well, just wait. Your opponent will put out a piece of literature which says, look, Mark Olson voted with me.
Mr. Chair, I would like to respond to Representative Kahn.
Representative Olson, good point.
Everybody, we all know that the House and Senate combined, either one of them, cannot pass all their omnibus bills on one day. The current process allows conference committees to work and force the body to face all these conference committees on one or two or three days right at the end. This amendment is attempting to address that. Is it perfect? No. Is it 14 days arbitrary? You could argue that maybe. But is it reasonable? I think so. The bodies, just think about this, the bodies cannot act on all these conference committee reports at the same time. Yet we're faced with that under the current process. Because we start, each bill passes out one or two days after another, and they pile up in conference committee, and then we tell the conference committees go do their work, and they all get done with their work towards the end of session, and all of a sudden we face all these bills. Given the fact that we release a bill on a day at a time or two on a day, and you have 14 days thereafter, it begins to create the schedule of the bills having to come back in a timely fashion so the body can pass them off for final passage and final approval in the same manner they release them. That's the objective of this kind of amendment. And is it perfect? No. I expect the committee to do its work and perfect it and bring everybody a part of it and get everybody else's ideas. I'm not claiming perfect ideas. I'm trying to address issues that are very real and very problematic in a substantive way, and this would move in that direction, just as the last amendment moved us in that direction but did not completely resolve the issue. And so I submit to you that this could be improved. I could think of ways to improve it, but I didn't want to try to create a perfect amendment and not leave anything for anybody else to do.
Representative Offler.
Mr. Chairman and to Representative Olson and Kahn, I think to the committee, I think you have to understand that these are being written to deal with all bills. And I think a lot of our discussion focuses just on the budget bills that tend to come at the end of session. And I think that Representative Kahn makes a good point, because part of our goal in a lot of these reforms is to start using those early months of session to deal with substantive policies and to get them on their own, on the floor, in separate conference committees. Maybe they could even if they had fiscal impact, they might even be guiding the conference committee that will ultimately put it in the budget. And so I think that this actually works against that goal for the point that Representative comment. You know, if we had, for example, last year, and we didn't have the LCMR reform, that has been a major issue. It's had interim work. But if last year we had a conference committee working on that during the policy committee times, it's almost impossible for House members to find time to meet together, let alone House and Senate members who are on a conference committee, so that you're not just running from the fifth floor to the basement, you're actually running across the tunnel and up to the third floor. And I think that if we want to have substantive work done on major policy issues early in the early months of the session, you just can't limit those conference committees to 14 days, because they're just not going to have the time to work out the key policies. But I'd really love to vote on something that the public really cares about in the first couple of months of session. And I think I'm going to vote against this just because I really hope we have some major policy bills early in the session in future years.
And Representative Loeffler. Liebling, I'm sorry. I almost got by.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Olson, again, I think you've got some good ideas going here. As it is written, I'd have to vote against this amendment because it brings up, I think, other than the 14-day thing, which I'd have to think about that some more, but I think the idea is a good one to kind of push those conference committees along and make them finish at some time. But what really troubles me in this are two things. One is that this dissolving or replacing by a majority vote of either house at any time, that troubles me because I think it adds a different pressure. And I understand, I think, why you're doing it. You know, the last session we all became very, very frustrated with some of the conference committees and would have loved to have more direct control over them. But I'm not sure that that's the way we would want to do it, because I just think that I think that that right there, with just a simple majority to do that, I think it really opens up us for a lot of different pressures and different kinds of shenanigans than we've seen to ever. And the second part that kind of concerns me is this all legislative groups and working groups being voted on by a majority. And I wanted to ask you if by all legislative groups you include groups like rump groups. You know, we don't want to have people appointed by the whole body to be in any kind of group that tries to get together to work things out. I think that would be a big mistake.
Yeah. Representative Olson, I'll give you the last word, and then we need to vote on this and move on to the next amendment.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Liebling, I think you're now talking about part of the amendment we haven't even talked about, because there's really two parts of this amendment. And you're reading into it. It does not do what you said. Members can meet as groups in any way they want. This is talking about how a formal, authorized group would be established and given authority to act on something. You could be rump group, you could be a caucus of any sort, you could form your own group, vote yourself. But the issue here, members, when you think about the body having the ability to hold that minority group accountable, and you call that a shenanigan, the shenanigans are, I'm sorry, but the shenanigans are when a small group does something to coerce the body and trap the body. When a small group takes an annexation provision and puts it in and hasn't passed either body, and the entire body and the state suffers for 14 years, that is a shenanigan. And this would stop that. This would mean the body could stop it before the shenanigan gets to the point in the process where they're trapped and unable to stop it. Because we don't want to vote against the conference report because of that one little provision. And we really don't have the ability to see its ramifications because we haven't had a hearing on it. We don't know how contentious it is. And we let it go through, it become signed into law, and for 14 years we fight over it. That's a shenanigan. Got to remember, this is about the majority rule institution and preserving its ability to act and preserve its rights when it delegates to minorities work that has to be done as a minority.
Very quickly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Olson, I understand where you're coming from, and you know I mainly agree with you on this entire topic, but what troubles me about it is the at any time, and it doesn't bother me. I think we should have some more control over these bodies, but I think it needs to be tightened up. I just think that in the form that it's in here, it's troubling. And I do like your idea in that second section. But I do think that I can't vote for it right now in the form it's in, because I think we need to tighten that up as well to make it more clear.
Mr. Chair, Representative Liebling, you mean the second section, tighten that up, or the first section?
I mean the part about about the body approving these legislative groups. I think that's a good idea, that we should have, you know, I think what you're trying to do here is, you know, formalize those groups so that they can actually keep on working and so on. But
Representative Liebling, Mr. Chair, Representative Liebling, currently these groups are not even legal groups.
Right.
They've not been authorized by the body. They don't have legal documents.
Right.
And I'm amazed that we're acting as we are.
No.
They aren't even legal groups. They have no legal documents, and we're letting them run the legislature to a special session or to a government shutdown. It's amazing what we've done.
Representative Liebling, I'll let you speak quickly, and then Representative Tingstad or Representative Loffler, and then we're going to vote on the amendment.
Representative Olson, I'm agreeing with you on that. What I'm saying is just that I think this language isn't really clear enough. We would need to tighten it up to make sure that it doesn't appear to be saying that you can't have the informal groups as well. because the way you've got it here, it looks like every group, all legislative groups, must be formally appointed. But I hear what you're where you're going, and I don't disagree with you. I just think it needs more work.
I would consider an amendment.
Representative Tinglestad or Loughborough?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I think we've had a good discussion on this amendment. It's a good time to vote. I'll be voting no in its current format. However, I'd encourage Representative Olson to work on this further, perhaps offer it as amendment in the next committee rules.
And discussion is on H3781A13 amendment. All those in favor?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Olson.
I'm begging your pardon, Mr. Chair. I just thought we'd have more work on these instead of just finding things wrong with them that we can fix right here and move them forward. I mean, we can take out as simple as at any time, we can take that language out. We can clarify when this could occur.
Right.
And if we're just going to shoot these amendments down by picking them apart just because they aren't perfected, I admit that
And Representative Olson, I respect your ability to put these things together, and it gives us good place for thought. The problem we run into is when we have dialogue between just a couple of members, and others are listening, but we have a number of amendments to get through. And I would encourage, if you want to perfect that amendment, then take the amendment. We can lay it over, take it over to the side. We can do that and move on with the other amendments that we are working to get to. We need to get through this bill to get it there. And so I would encourage, if that's your request, Representative Olson, I'd be more than happy to.
I'd be happy to do that, Mr. Chair. I've raised these issues for years. I've learned that if I perfect the amendment too much and people can't even argue against me, they just vote it down, and I don't get anywhere that way either. And I've done it many times. I've got a drawer full of amendments, and if you want more hours, I could give you more hours, but I'm not trying to do that. I'd be happy to lay this over. I'm raising issues that are, I think, extremely serious for this institution, and I think this institution is greatly damaged by what we've done in the last year, and I don't yet see that we have real, thorough, substantive ways to address it. Now, maybe there's some more amendments here I haven't seen, and I'll look forward to that, but for now, then I'll lay this amendment over.
Representative Olson moves to temporarily withdraw his amendment.
Yep.
We don't vote on that, do we?
No.
Mr. Chair,
you can take
this. Representative Wardlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I understand what Representative Olson is talking about, because what he's saying is, his point is that when you do have sidebars on amendments, two or three people are involved, but when you talk about it as a committee as a whole, we all get to hear the discussion and have input, and I think that's the point he's making, and it did work in local government. That's how we got the annexation bill through. And there was an inverse relationship between the time the committee spent on it and the time it took to pass through different committees, because the committee had done so much work on it as a whole, not as separate sidebar conversations. And that's the point that I agree with, but it is very time-consuming.
Yeah, Representative Wardlow, and I didn't mean to cut off the discussion on that, but there comes a point when both individuals recognize there's something needs to be improved on, and if that can be taken off to the side, put into writing, brought back to the committee, and then we can present that as a proposal for the bill, then I think it creates some efficiencies in the whole hearing process, and hopefully we can get through the amendments. Any other questions? To the A4 amendment. Representative Tinglestad. That's a new one.
Chair, that'd be mine.
Okay. Representative Hosh, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment, I would actually like to offer an oral amendment to this on line 1.7 after deadline, add of even numbered years. And I'm offering this amendment because of some of the discussions that I've had with Representative Lauper. What I'm trying to attempt with this is just to ensure that bills aren't being introduced or authored for the simple reason of legislator being able to put something on their campaign literature in the future saying, look at me, I chief authored this, with no real intention of moving that bill forward or advocating on that bill's behalf. This would not allow any bills to be introduced after the third deadline of an even-numbered year. And this is just kind of out of response to some of the things that I've seen in my short time here, and just will bring more transparency to the process. I just so.
And Representative Hosh incorporates the amendment into his amendment, the oral amendment being on line 1.7 after deadline of even numbered years. And any further discussion on the, Representative Kahn?
Representative Hosh, Mr. Chairman, my memory may be incorrect, but have you served through an even numbered year yet?
Representative Hosh.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you saw, my original amendment would say just third deadline, and that would be my overall preference, but through discussion with Representative Loeffler, I did see the point that oftentimes bills are introduced in an odd number of year after deadline, so they can continue to work on it during the interim with specific groups. So I just thought this might be a compromise.
That wasn't an answer to my question.
I thought you knew that.
I was just checking. I don't like to. I'm really getting old and my memory's getting really bad, so I always like to check a statement before I make it. So, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Kahn.
There's a bill that I've introduced, and I don't know if I'm going to put it on my campaign literature or not. It was introduced before the third deadline, but there isn't any chance. You know, I knew that there was very little chance of getting that it was going to be heard. And, you know, when we introduce bills, one of the things that does is that makes them available to the public. I've actually already sent the URL for this bill to the National Conference of State Legislatures. It's probably, so I don't know if anyone in this room has signed on as a co-author, the two, so you can tell that it's an unusual and difficult bill. The two first authors are me and my good colleague Mary Liz Holberg. The issue is on the question of the privacy of genetic data. And it was a very difficult bill. We put in an amendment into one of the omnibus bills last year asking for a report from the Department of Administration as to what kind of genetic data the state was collecting and what the implications, you know, what the implications were. It was an incredible task force that met through, you know, and it shows you that you can just ask for a report and you don't have to fund it and you can still get some very good work done from state government that met through the entire summer. I think the report date was January 15th, and that's when it came out with. That went to both Mary Liz and I, and we both, you know, kind of sort of worked on it, finally got it to House Research to have a bill drafted. It's a very complicated bill. It's not too many pages, but it's got lots of, someone criticized me before for using big words, but it's got lots of big words in it. And it's a, you know, and I knew that there wasn't, and, I mean, the point is the timing for that bill could have very well been even later, you know, even later than it was specifically. But the point is the introduction of a bill has a purpose beyond going on political literature, and it has a purpose beyond getting passed in that year, particularly on such a difficult subject such as this bill, in that it puts it before the public, and it puts it in a way that the public can see. And the public is much more than just our constituents. The public is, on an issue like this, is, I think, a national issue. I've already had a call from someone from NCSL on how you're going to discuss, you know, discuss this issue. So I just think that this is unnecessary. I don't think that this is unnecessary. And the introduction, I don't know what the cost of the introduction of a bill is these days. I think it's de minimis in terms of all the things we do. It used to be something that was actually kind of serious. I actually did something on looking at the avoidance of duplicate bills. But I don't think this has any effect, and I think in some cases where people are trying to thoughtfully work on something and put it out before the public, which is now with the Internet a much wider public than just that, it would have a deleterious effect. So I would urge us to vote against this bill. We already have abilities to not rush bills through in terms of hearing, and I just don't think that, I think you can say all you want about, but you'll notice the numbers of bills go down, you know, go down dramatically. But the way you put an idea out is to put out a bill or a resolution, and then that bill is only presented for the public if it has an official number, and that's the only way the public can see the kinds of things they're thinking of. So I think this would have more bad effects than good effects.
Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Haas. I appreciate you're trying to address my concern, but I had shared with Representative Haas that I had requested a bill. Actually had information on how other states had dealt with this of one of our staff. And this was either the week before or the week of the start of the session here. And I still have not gotten those jackets. And I told other people that I intended to introduce this bill. I know, as a freshman minority member and the committee that would be referred to, that it probably would not have gotten a hearing. But my commitment was to bring that idea forward into the public forum. And so I'm going to continue to object to this just because, through no fault of my own, unless I'm not clever enough to know how to end run and find a different staff person, and you know, maybe it was my mistake for not having more carefully stayed on top of that person, I have got a bill that I still would like to put my name on and put out there, and it's not a political ploy or anything else. It's fulfilling a commitment that I've made, and so I think that given how thin our staff is stretched in these intense sessions, for those of us who have other occupations that can't, you know, devote our time to legislative work much before the start of session, I think it's really important that we be allowed to put our ideas forward. Now, I understand that some people may abuse this and may use it for political gain, but I guess I think it's more important for us to be able to have that opportunity to put our ideas out there into the public forum. Maybe another route to deal with this would be to say that you can introduce a bill that is already passed into law and use it for political gain. So if some popular bill passes, you can't introduce it in a, you know, after deadline with your name as the chief author or something, and have it more about campaign finance limitations or campaigning limitations rather than process limitations.
Representative Seibert, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I never thought I'd say this, but I agree with Representative Kahn.
I think he said that once, too, and it got him into trouble.
your bill is a great example of getting an issue out there ahead of time so you can come back next year and say, hey, we introduced this last year. We need to follow up on it. And I've gotten a bill through that co-authored that we're planning on that same thing to follow up next year, even though there's not time to deal with it. So I really appreciate your intent. But I think that'll kind of get in the way of other points.
Representative Hush.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and for the sake of time and being able to see the writing on the wall and at least getting this issue out to the forefront, I'd like to withdraw this amendment and continue to work on alternative ways to address my original concern, but through other...
Representative Hush withdraws H3781A4 amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Olson.
Could we go back to the A13 amendment?
Back to the A13 amendment. Representative Olson, to the A13 amendment.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the adoption of the A13 amendment starting on line 9 after the period, after majority vote period. I'd like to move the remainder of that amendment, and after the word all on line 9, insert formally established. So it would read as follows: during special sessions, all formally established legislative groups, and so forth, to clearly identify that a rump group, a caucus, or any group that members want to form on their own can be done, but this is really, and that this is not intended to restrict that, but to simply say that if we're going to form groups as a body, they have to be formally established, and this is how we do it.
Representative Olson, then, the only modification of the A13 amendment is on line 1.9?
That is correct, except that I'd ask counsel to give me a placement in the bill, and maybe we need to change the title to committee group formation or something of that
nature. Well, he's deleted 1.4 to 1.
1.9 after vote period?
Yeah. Mr. Chair?
Representative Olson.
If I may, lines 4 through 9, including the majority vote, I'm deleting, and let me just speak to that. that this is a very interesting concept to me. There are so many things that we can do in this body as individual members that we don't realize we can do. And what's in that language we can already do. But we just never do it. I mean, literally, we can currently get up on the floor and make a motion to disband a conference committee, the House members. We can get up on the floor and make a motion to pull a conference committee report back. There are no rules that address it. We can currently do all this. This was creating some regulation for it and elevating it to the understanding of the body that we can do it. So I'm deleting that action, and I'm going to leave it as is currently in rule and see what happens. But for the second part, I think we need to address that because we are currently doing things that very, very much violates constitutional principle and the integrity of the body.
Okay. Representative Olson makes the amendment to his amendment, striking lines 1 through 1.4 through 1.92 after majority vote, amends line 1.9 after the word all final established, formally established legislative groups, and he incorporates that into his amendments. The amendment now before us. Any discussion? Representative Kahn.
I'm sure he wants that formally established before other subgroups, too. Other formally established subgroups of all legislative groups.
I would incorporate that, Mr. Chair.
But my only question is, what is a formally established group?
Representative Olson.
Well, Mr. Chair, it to me means that the body takes action to form the group. And I've got the language from council. If you have a history on that language, Mr. Shepherd, and want to eliminate the body, but that it to me it seems obvious that we do it formally as a body.
Representative Loeffler.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Olson, I agree with solving the problem because actually officially in special session we should reintroduce the bills. Like our budget bill should have been reintroduced and repassed and then gone to a formal conference committee. This keeps us from doing that, but also says those people who are working on those conference committees actually have to be approved by the body. And I'd like you to suggest, and I'll offer it as an amendment, but I'd like Mr. Representative Olson's reaction first, is on line 10, after the legislative members, so it's all these different groups, recommended by legislative leadership to resolve the issues for which the special session was called. And so that defines what this group is, so that, typically it would be the conference committees that came to an impasse. And then the sentences would read, during special session, all formally established legislative groups, working groups, conference committees, task forces, or other formally established subgroups of legislative members recommended by legislative leadership to resolve the issues for which the special session was called must be formally appointed by a vote, majority vote of each House. I know that the long list is so that you can't play word games and appoint something new. It makes it a little awkward. But the concept is that legislative leadership would say, here's the group that we would recommend to work on dealing with the issue for which the special session was called. It would typically be in a budget impasse, the competent impasse, the conference committee that's appointed to deal with the budget issues. But at least this would give it address Representative Kahn's issue of what is a formally established group. This at least says somebody's going to recommend them, and then we act on it.
That's unbelievable.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, my question maybe is more to the amendment than to the suggested change here, but I guess I just want to ask Representative Olson, does this mean that the body would just vote on the group as a whole or vote on individual members? I assume that you mean that they would vote on just establishing the entire group.
Representative Olson.
Mr. Chair, that is correct, and very important operative words here. On line 9, during special sessions, this cannot apply to the time from sine die to when the special session is called because we're not even authorized to act. We're not in session any longer. So this cannot occur in that in-between time period. And if Representative Loeffler means by the recommendation that the body can still change that recommendation, I would consider her language friendly, and we'll pull this aside again, and we'll get that written so members can see it, if that's pleasing to the chair.
Mr. Shepard, do you have that language from Representative Loeffler?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chair.
All members having heard the amendment, Representative Olson takes it as a friendly amendment. It is therefore incorporated into the amendment. Any other discussion on the amendment as amended?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Olson.
Representative Loeffler, did I understand correctly that that's just a recommendation the bodies can still change? Okay. That is a friendly amendment.
Representative Olson adopts the amendment. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, nay.
No.
Amendment is adopted. The A13 amendment is adopted. We're moving on. The A4 amendment has been pulled. A5 amendment. And Representative Hosh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A5 amendment is a simple amendment. It would limit bill introductions to 15 bills per representative per year and 30 per senator per year. It also states that if a bill is submitted that is identical to another bill that has previously been submitted, that it should be returned to the member, and that member should then become a co-author of the pre-existing bill.
Representative Fong.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I object to this for pretty much the same reason I objected to the other bill. I do like the, first of all, we do have a limit on the numbers of co-authors, which is 35, so sometimes you can't, if there isn't any room, how does the person get to be a co-author on the existing bill? And again, remember the introduction of a bill is the way we tell the public what that's going on. People have introduced bills, and I've introduced bill. I have a permanent author out whenever I talk to groups of kids and students that I've put in at one time for most recent incarnation was a constitutional amendment for the 16-year-old vote. And anytime I talk to a group, I tell them that if they're willing to work on it, I'm willing to submit the bill so that it has a number and they can work on it. You know, I haven't been taken up on that. But I think people put in bills for various reasons, because groups work on it. You can actually put in a bill, which I haven't done, which some people have done. They put in a bill by request, which means that you put in this bill because a constituent asked you to do it, and you're disassociating yourself from it, you know, saying that you don't agree with it. But again, I think it's dealing with a problem which isn't a problem, you know, isn't really a problem, except if you don't want to read through all the bill introductions. But the internet makes it really pretty easy, again, for you to find the bills on subjects that you're interested in. You know, I agree that I actually did try and do something to cut down, to be able to get legislative ideas out, but to get down on bill introductions, which we had for a while. And it was a much simpler thing than a bill introduced. It was a House advisory bill, which meant that you didn't have to go through the revisor's office. It was a very simple way of getting it up, and you could get the subject out so that you should say that this committee should do this subject. So it took much less effort on the part of the revisors, the part of staff, and so forth, to be able to have issues go into the public. And you could just write it yourself, just a paragraph of that. Unfortunately, when we lost, and it was used quite a bit, there were House advisory bills that were, I don't even remember if they called House advisory bills or something else. Unfortunately, it's one of the things that the new majority eliminated when they went into the majority. And, you know, I'm not sure it had the effect that I wanted, which was really to have committees pick it up and have them study, give the kind of study that Representative Olson was asking for. But again, all I think this does is decreases our conversation. The introduction of a bill is our conversation with the public, whether it then becomes an amendment on another bill or something like that. I think anything that decreases our conversation with the public, our openness to the public, is a bad idea, and this would do that.
Representative Wardlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with Representative Kahn. I think it limits our representation capabilities. What if you have 16 people who want you to offer a bill?
Yeah. Representative Seibert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a rhetorical question. Do you think we could apply this to amendments?
I'll amend the amendment. Representative Singlestad.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I think this is a good discussion, and I personally don't agree with the number that you have listed here, but I think the bigger issue is it addresses what's happening in the legislature. And as you know, we're now over 4,000 bills introduced for this biennium. And I think the demands that we put on our House Research and Revisers Office is, you know, too much. And at some point, we have to say enough is enough. I know some states have a limit of 5 bills per legislator or 8 bills per legislator. I know when I teach freshman orientation, as I've done for the last 4 groups of legislators, we talk about each freshman doing about 5 bills a year. But certainly there's other things to look at. I know as a committee chair this time for the first time, I realized that committee chairs need to carry additional bills that I probably would not initiate. In fact, this bill here, you know, that I'm chief authoring is, you know, my bill number 43 for the biennium. So according to this limit here, you know, I wouldn't be able to do this bill or 12 others. And so I think there's kind of extenuating circumstances, certainly a member of the majority versus a member of the minority. There's differences there. You know, I think it's a good discussion, and I'm wondering maybe if we look at some of the other issues with one of the training programs for legislators, if we get into some details perhaps in our training next January, February, where we talk about the costs for bill introductions. I know when I was a freshman, I was told that each bill costs about $6,000 to introduce. So I think if each individual member thinks about their issue and says, wow, is this worth it to the taxpayers to, you know, introduce this bill, is it worth $6,000? And certainly there's a difference between an omnibus bill versus a bill that has a two-word change. But the amount of time for staff to process it through, committee hearing time, all of that paperwork involved, you know, I think we need to have big discussions about this as a legislature and just say, you know, what we're doing to our staff and the availability of the public to follow this. I mean, it's just too much. And so, you know, I don't personally agree with the numbers in this bill, in this amendment, but I think, you know, I'd like to work with Representative Hosh and others in other ways to address this issue in a bigger picture here at the legislature.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I think here we're dealing with actually these two issues, and they could really be separated. And I guess I have concerns about that limit in the first part, too, but I like kind of the idea that's in the second part about trying to get rid of duplicates, but rather than actually preventing members from filing duplicate bills, it's an idea that I think maybe we should think about is having some designation on that second bill, not to prevent them from filing it, but to have it appear different so that they then can't say that, you know, that you can't just, you know, have the political clone bill to try to cut down on the incentive to do that.
Representative Olson.
Very briefly, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is very similar to the, not literally, to the Hosh Initiative, except in this respect. The accountability for what this is trying to address, I think, best occurs in a campaign. Representative Hosh's initiative, good initiative. I don't like when we play anybody plays politics with introducing bills, but it's really the best place for accountability for that. Is a campaign piece that says Representative so-and-so introduced so many bills, never even asked for a hearing. End of story. And I think that best occurs in a campaign.
Representative Hosh, I'll give you the last word.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to put this in perspective. If every member were to offer 15 bills, 2,010 bills could be introduced per year. So I don't think this is a far-reaching number. I think as legislators, we should prioritize what we want to pursue during our session. There's only so much that can be done. I think most people know that if they introduce 60 bills, that it's just pretty much impossible to follow through during that session. I don't think there should be considerations if a person is in the majority or minority. It should be each bill should be considered on its merits. And I really believe that as legislators, we should prioritize what we want to pursue during the legislative session. I just think it's very important. It brings more transparency, and I think the public can understand more if each of us only have a certain number of bills, where our priorities stand as representatives and senators. So I strongly encourage the support of this. I understand the arguments against it, but I think this is a good amendment.
Very quickly, Representative.
Well, I would just object to it. The introduction of a bill is the way we converse with the public, and I don't believe that Representative Tingelstad's number is right now, particularly for what? No. No. Yeah. For, it depends upon the work. This genetic information bill, which had many, many people working over the entire summer, if you looked at all of that, I'm sure it cost much more than $6,000 in terms of staff time and so forth. And yet, it's not a bill that's going anywhere. I just think, again, it's something that's not necessary, and it limits the ability of a member to communicate with the public, and that public is not necessarily even their constituency.
And the vote to the H3781A5 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay.
No.
The amendment does not prevail. The next amendment, members, is the A6 amendment. Representative Harsh,
yeah,
you've been busy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
It's going to pay off, Larry.
Yeah.
Only two more. This amendment is actually one of my favorites. What this would do is allow what I would call the equivalent of a super hearing request, which would give a member the ability to have automatic committee hearings on two bills that they choose to do so. I think, as legislators, when I was talking about prioritizing what we want to pursue, as legislators, we could prioritize what two bills are most important to us that we would like to see a vote or movement on that bill, and this would allow each of us to get an automatic hearing request on two bills. I originally started with saying all bills would get committee hearings, but I understand the logistics are impossible for that, so I limited it down to two. I would encourage the committee support.
Representative Olson.
Hallelujah. I got reinforcements here. Mr. Chair, this is really encouraging. The amendment that I have in file that does this in one more step, Representative Hosh, is called the priority bill. Members, I've tried this with five bills. I've tried it with three bills. I've tried it with one bill. And I feel like I got some reinforcements because under that language and under your language, it creates a priority for a bill that a member designates. But under my language, it goes one step further and says that the committee has to hear it and move it to the floor with their recommendations, which could be that it is recommended to fail. But it has to go to the floor. And the point of that is to override the minority control of the body. And you got a very good step in the right direction. You may get a hearing on the bill, but it might not be a real good hearing, and it might just fizzle after that. But it's a step in the right direction. I'll support your amendment.
Representative Kahn.
Just a question. Is that two bills a session? Does it need to be?
Representative Hosh.
Two bills a biennium?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Kahn. My intention is two bills a session.
A biennium, yes.
A year.
Oh, a year.
So yeah, that's not a biennium. Well, so it would be four for a biennial session.
Representative Kahn.
I actually prefer again, trying to figure out whether I'm going to be in the majority or the minority. It's hard to decide what I really want with this. But I would suggest that two bills a biennial session would be a better number.
President Hawes.
But,
yeah, I would agree with you. Two bills a session would be good.
Two priority bills a session. Any other discussion to the bill?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gleeping.
Well, Mr. Chair, as somebody, I think we need an oral amendment here to clarify it one way or the other so we know what we're doing.
Oh, yes.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what I thought we would get that.
Okay. Representative Kahn has an oral amendment to Representative Hosh's bill.
Which I imagine Mr. Shepard has written for me?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Shepherd, and members of the committee, I think on page 1, line 7, after the word bills, you would insert each, and then whatever the committee's wish is, each biennial session or each regular session.
Representative Wilson.
Regular annual session.
How about Mr. Chair, or wait, it almost seems better if we had one bill per session so that a member couldn't be, a chair or a committee couldn't be caught in a member trying to do two bills in the first session, and that's more onerous than one bill per session.
I'll give the bill author a preference.
I would like to have it as two bills each year, but I believe Representative Kahn has moved an amendment to have it as two bills each biennium, and you can see what the vote is on that first.
Representative Kahn moves the amendment two bills per biennium to the amendment, to the Hosh amendment. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Nay.
No.
The motion does not prevail. Back to your original bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For clarification, I would like to do the same amendment, but say designate two bills each year.
Representative Hosh amends his amendment, line 1.7, after the words bills, each year. Any discussion? Representative Loeffler.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to speak in support of this. I think that our constituents expect us to have an opportunity to have our ideas considered, and I think that it's part of legislative training, quite honestly, that freshmen, whether they're minority or majority, and others should have a chance to get their ideas forward, have them actively debated. And I know there are committees that actually have many more bills than most committees that have actually implemented a policy of hearing every bill. It may only be a three-minute sort of thing, but you have a chance to present ideas in public forum, and so I do support this.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hoppe.
Was Representative Kahn first?
No.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm a member of the majority. I've been here, this is the end of my fourth year. I introduced a bill this year that is the most important bill to me personally that I've ever introduced. I was not able to get a hearing on it in any committee. You know what? Sometimes you don't get everything you want. I think this is a bad idea and members should vote no.
Chairman. Seeing no further discussion. Representative Kahn, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, well, it's kind of like the statement I give to my son-in-law whenever he has a new baby, which is, I only hope they're going to be just like him so he gets some payback. And so, of course, each one has been nicer than the next, so it's never happened, which my daughter-in-law is very happy about. But the point is, the only thing I would wish is that any one of you who votes yes on this is a committee chair who will have to deal with it. And it doesn't say what committees the bills go to. It doesn't say anything about that. There's nothing about it. So that's my wish, that someday you will be a committee chair, if this passes, that will have to deal with this. And you'll see what you're going to do to go around it.
Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Kahn, to that point, I think whatever happens in the coming election, I see a bipartisan new committee that we could form. We'll talk about that
later. Oh, yes.
Representative Olson, very quick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kahn, your wish has been granted. I support the amendment.
Seeing no further discussion on the A6 amendment, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay.
No.
Ooh.
Oh.
The chair does not prevail.
Division.
I knew that was coming. All those in favor, please raise your right hand.
The end right.
All those opposed, right hand.
Is that your left?
Oh, yeah.
The other right.
Being 5 votes for and 6 votes opposed, the motion does not prevail.
Oh, such great ears.
Celebrate it.
Mr. Chair?
I believe so, yes.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Wardwell.
How many committees do we have, like 20?
21.
Well, that'd be 42 bills, Representative Hosh, by the way.
if you members, I have, in my capacity as chair, I have failed miserably here. The chair has asked me to get this bill done by noon and go 15 minutes for information on the next bill. I have failed to do that. My head is hanging low.
Right.
But if we could expedite through these next amendments, we may be able to get through this bill and vote on it before the end of the committee.
Could vote now.
Could vote now. Seeing the A11 amendment, the author of the bill of the A11 amendment.
A11?
Who's on?
Oh, just
author of the A11 amendment, going once.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Olson.
I will move the A11 amendment.
Representative Olson moves the A11 amendment. To your amendment.
This is another provision in my constitutional amendment bill. Simply creates the requirement for a committee to determine a bill hearing process, a prioritization process, so that all the members are a part of that. It does not require the exact process we use in local government, but that is a process that would work where all members take part in it. And let me note, members, that, and Mr. Chair, that currently every member of every committee has the authority to invoke a requirement for a hearing by making a motion to do so, and a vote of the committee will override the current protocols.
Other discussion to the amendment? Representative Kahn.
Chairman, I think that this is best left to individual committee chairs to put in place, as Representative Olson did in his committee. I think it's very hard to say what the different levels of activity in each committee, the different levels of members, could make this a total disaster in some. Like elementary education, for example, I would say this would be a total disaster.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Olson.
Representative Kahn, in the process that we use, if no member participates, there's no disaster. The chair decides. But it's purely an option, and it works as such, and the members have participated very well, and only on rare occasions, because of timing of bill getting introduced and when the hearing has to occur, have I ever decided when a bill gets a hearing. The committee has been very cooperative and very much contributing to that process, but they don't have to, and if they don't, I just decide. It works very well, and there's been no disaster whatsoever.
Well, Representative Tingleset or Representative Loffler, any comments to the bill? Or the amendment, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. We're just thinking about, you know, how this would work for a committee like Government Operations. We get about 500 bills referred to us over 2 years, and a lot of the bills that we hear have to go through four or five committees. So, boy, the orchestration of that would be pretty complex. I think I'm going to vote no on this one, just because thinking through how it would work with our committee personally.
Representative Kahn.
I disagree with what I was going to use GovOp as an example, where you have a secondary referral that has to occur, and it's very different from local government.
Seeing no other discussion on the amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Olson.
I'd just like to quickly respond. There isn't anything in this amendment that prohibits the chair from making the determination when the members are not able to.
No.
And Representative Tingelstad's concerns are valid for her committee. That's the reason the amendment does not explicitly state they have to do it the way we are doing it. And if it's unworkable because of the volume, the chair would decide.
That's not how the amendment reads. That's just not how the amendment reads.
Explain.
Any other discussion? Representative Welty.
Thank you, Chair Severson. Representative Olson, I'm wondering if you'd be open to a friendly amendment so that it was, so because I agree with Representative Tingelstad or Chair Tingelstad and others when we've talked about the bills that get referred from other committees. What if it was just for those bills that get referred to the committee? I mean, if we can specify it, so if this is the committee that's been referred to after it's been introduced, then you prioritize those bills.
Mr. Chair, that's exactly how our committee does it. That's a very good point, and that's a friendly provision. We have a rule in our committee that if it's a referral from another committee, we will not deter the work of another committee, and we take that up automatically.
Is that a friendly amendment?
That's a friendly amendment.
Representative Olson incorporates the amendment. What is that specifically?
Chair Severson, I would refer to
Mr. Shepherd.
If you have an idea on that.
Sharon, members, if I don't get this exactly right now, we may need to clean up the language a bit later, but I would suggest on line 5, after the word committee, insert of original referral.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Welty,
I would move to insert after committee on line 1.5 of original referral.
Representative Olson takes it on as a friendly amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that's a good intent. I would like to suggest a little different language, and that is on line 5 after the priority, the order and priority for hearing bills that would go directly from that committee to the floor, because it's not where a bill starts, it's where it ends. It's actually key in orchestrating the timing of it, because it may be originate in one committee but still have to go to 5 others. And so that committee has to act early, or that committee, that bill is dead. And so I'm just thinking that it, for a committee that has jurisdiction on a bill where it's going to come from that committee directly to the floor, so that is the final disposition of the bill, it makes more sense, I think.
Representative Olson?
Mr. Chair, it doesn't, because that still leaves those bills that need to go to multiple committees following that original committee as possibly not getting a hearing at the discretion of the chair. And the issue is the equal representation of all the members of that committee and assuring them a voice. So it doesn't address that. I prefer the Welty motion over your suggestion, but in moving forward, Representative Loeffler, I'd be happy to look at that concern and possibly consider some additional language as we move forward.
Did you want to withdraw your amendment, Representative Loeffler?
I was, Mr. Chair, I was just putting it out as a suggestion because I thought that was the intent. I withdraw.
Any other discussion to the amendment? Representative Kahn.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would just suggest that we vote against this. Again, we're having, I know that Representative Olson, I know that many of his committee members have been very pleased with this. I think it's not workable for many committees, and I think it puts an unnecessary amount of difficult and time-consuming. People have been talking about making the process a little bit more efficient, and not, I think this would be a disaster.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would concur with Representative Kahn. I think this is very well-intentioned but unworkable for most committees.
Seeing no other discussion on the bill, we will take a vote on the bill, on the amendments, on the A11 amendment as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay.
No.
The bill does not prevail. The amendment does not prevail.
Division.
Division being called. All those in favor of the A11 amendment, raise your right hand. And oppose. The bill does not prevail with 6-4-7 against.
I think you're forgetting those.
Pardon me?
You forgot those.
Okay. 9 against?
I'm sorry. The guys at the front.
The next amendment is the A8 amendment, members.
Mr. Chair, this amendment is the original amendment that we discussed last time, just with the additions that the legislative rules must allow for bills to be amended on multiple occasions without having a conference committee. I don't think we need much discussion with this, as we have discussed this at length earlier.
Okay.
But this supplants the A2 amendment that we talked about.
I'm sorry.
Can you explain this bill, Representative Hosh, or this amendment? I'm sorry.
Absolutely, Mr. Chair. What this amendment would do is saying that if action hasn't been taken on a major finance bill, that the outstanding bills that haven't been passed then go to the entire legislature to be voted on. This is on the discussion that we need to bring accountability back to the entire body. So if we do have a problem with a special session or another shutdown, that we are voting every day on the outstanding issues, and people know where we stand. And this allows us to go back and forth with our reports to the Senate and the House until hopefully we get an agreement.
Representative Cox.
Well, this is what's called shuttling, which is done in some other states, and I just don't think we can do it this simply with a rule change. I think that there are constitutional issues on how bills are dealt with and so forth. You know, I think it's something that's worthy of being looked at, but I think this is too simplistic a way to look at it. And I think that the place that it makes most sense often is with small bills and minor changes, actually, when we're doing this. So I think the idea of looking at adding the concept of shuttling to the concept of conference committees is something that we ought to take up and look at for the next session. I'll point out that in the states that have it and don't, instead of conference committees, it's been considered an undemocratic process, and it's been considered that the process of having a conference committee is much more democratic. And when New York moved to that for a conference committee, it was moved from the shuttling system for their budget bill to a conference committee. It was the first year they had ever gotten their budget done in time. Unfortunately, it didn't follow through with the second year. But the point is, there are, you know, so I think you really want to figure out what happens when you do that. And it doesn't allow the kind of in-depth thought that a conference committee gives to things.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kahn, with all due respect, when you mentioned that something you think is unconstitutional, I wish you would refer to the Constitution so we know how or why it might be. Just a minute, Representative Kahn. The history of Minnesota is we used to have a ping-pong process, literally. And to my knowledge, the Constitution was never amended to get rid of that, but we actually used to have a ping-pong process. I've had amendments. I have amendments in my file that create it. This is a simpler way to do it. It's not as explicit in the process. It doesn't give as much detail, but I believe this is very workable, and I cannot conceive, with all due respect, how it could be unconstitutional. And if you do have a specific reference, I'd be happy to look at that.
No, you're probably right, and I withdraw that, and I just withdraw that statement. But I do think we need to have a more comprehensive thinking out of how we want to deal with bills than just trying to deal with it with one amendment today. And I don't think we shouldn't do it. I just think it's something not to do at this point in the legislative session.
Representative Stadler and Loeffler, to the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I'm tend to think that I can't envision all the consequences of this amendment.
Yeah.
And I trust Representative Kahn in her early enthusiasm about this, that we really need to think about this. I'm always a practical person. I'm trying to think about my only experience, which was in the special session last year. If every day we would have to vote on those complex budget bills, as opposed to every day working on some component of it, which I think would have, you know, made us feel like we were more contributing to the solution. But if we just had our original bills before us and we're voting, I'm just wondering if it could be gamed as bad as the current system, and so that's why I'm just trying to figure out how to make it practical. But I like the intent.
Any other discussion? Representative Hosh.
Just closing comments, Mr. Chair. One of the great things about this body is that we're a fluid body. We can go back and we can change things, we can modify things. Almost everything we do in one way or another has unintended consequences. But we can fix that. If the intent of this is good, let's try it. I think this is extremely important to try something like this. I think a lot of the problems that we've seen here today in votes is the institutional problem that we have of people trying to figure out if we're going to be in the majority or minority next year, and if this is going to impact us negatively as a minority, or if this is going to impact us negatively as a majority. It shouldn't matter. And this will help bring some transparency where people actually understanding what is happening during our budgeting process, during a special session or a shutdown or the last days. And if there are unintended consequences, I'm sure there are. But I'm also positive that we will be back here another day and another time where we can address those. So I strongly encourage the committee's support on this.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I strongly encourage committee's support on this, too. And even though I approach this a little differently. I'm sorry that Representative Haas and I haven't been able to meet on this. This came up the other day, I believe, and you have some changes here. We didn't get to meet on it, but I'd like to submit an idea and see what the author of the bill thinks, what Representative Tingelstad thinks, and Representative Loeffler thinks, and members, of course. If if we change this amendment, if you look on line 7, right now, by the last day, and then we have one chance to vote, and then in the further repercussions created in special session, we can then go back and forth. Well, if we said that on the last 3 days, if we hadn't, if the action of the conference committees was not completed, each body would have to vote on them and have 3 days to send them back and forth, we might get the job done before the end of session. And that might be a better alternative.
Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, it's quarter after 12 right now. We were going to be done with this by noon. This process could go on indefinitely. Maybe we should take this whole issue up a little bit later, maybe in January. Just a recommendation to the committee.
And Representative Hosh has his amendment on the table, the A8 amendment. I'd like to get that on and then consider the next two very quickly, whether we need to do them or not, vote on this bill and get it out of committee. To this point.
I did.
And all those in favor of the A8 amendment as amended, or it hasn't been amended, the A8 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay?
No.
The motion does not prevail. Authors of the A10 and A12 amendment, who would that be?
Probably me, Mr. Chair.
Representative Olson, would you consider withdrawing those amendments so we can vote on this bill and get it out of committee?
Mr. Chair and members, you're talking about the A10 and A12?
Yes, Representative Olson.
The A10 is a very simple amendment, even though it's long, because it's simply that, I'll just tell you this, the guts of the amendment are on line 20 through 23, I think it is. It simply requires a proportionate representation. The only reason it's long is because you have to define things. But it simply requires a proportionate representation based on the majority and minority groups of the House. That's all it is. The most significant line is line 22, after the period, to the extent possible, members must also be represented on each individual group in such a proportion. That line is to address the fact that it's possible with a third party that you could have a 5% membership, and it's not even doable to have a representation in every committee. So that line addresses that factor. If we could at least hear that, I'll bring the other one up later.
The A10 amendment is before us.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Kahn.
Well, it's more...
Representative Tinglestad or Representative Laughlin, would you like to speak to the amendment?
Mr. Chair, we're catching this right at the end here. I think there's an opportunity in rules to give these last couple amendments maybe a little more thorough hearing. So maybe...
Mr. Chair, I'll withdraw my amendment.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Olson. And the A12 amendment? Withdraw. Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Tinglestad.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Appreciate the in-depth discussion here. I thought we brought up some good ideas today. Appreciate all of Representative Laffer's help through the last several months in bringing a lot of these ideas to the table here, and hope to get this bill to the Rules Committee and then to the House floor where we could have further discussions and perhaps amendments at that time. Mr. Chair, I think we maybe need direction to staff to rework the titling of some of the amendments, as Mr. Shepard mentioned earlier. I don't know if we need to have anything formal to tell him that, or...
Mr. Shepard.
Mr. Chair, members, if it would be best for the committee, I can express all of the amendments you've adopted as a delete everything amendment, if that would be helpful, but I don't want to do that without your authorization. Put it together in one clean draft.
Representative Tinglestad.
Mr. Chair, I would like to do that, so is that something that we need to vote on then real quickly? Let's do that. I'll make that motion if we could vote on that, and then I'll make a separate motion to move the bill to the next committee.
Representative Tinglestad moves that all the amendments be incorporated as a delete all amendment into the House File 3781. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. And the motion does prevail.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to renew my motion that House File 3781, as amended, be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Rules Committee.
Representative Tinglestad renews her motion that House File 3781 be passed as amended and referred to the Committee on Rules. All those in favor say... Representative Wheatley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had a question with the amendment that we just moved. I just wanted to clarify. There were parts of the bill that were left. Are those included in the delete all?
Mr. Shepard.
Mr. Chair and Representative Liebling, yes. I would just do an amendment that only expresses the changes to the bill that you have approved and voted on today.
Okay, I just want to...
Everything else left as is.
Thank you, Representative Liebling. All those in favor of House File 3781, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay?
No.
The bill does prevail.
Mr. Chair, if I could indulge you for 1 minute, this may be our last meeting, we don't know. If I could just move the next bill just to lay it on the table, just so that there's been consideration of this bill. My intention is to offer it again next year to try to get a constitutional amendment in 2008, and this would relate to redistricting commission. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move that House File 4099 be considered briefly and laid on the table.
Tinnestad moves that House File 4099 be brought before the committee and laid over for future consideration. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, nay. And the bill is laid over. Congratulations, Representative Tinnestad and Representative Loeffler. Well done.
Thank you very much, members. And we may have one more meeting. We're waiting to hear from leadership, so watch your email. Can we adjourn? Mr. Chair, are we adjourned officially?
Mr. Chair.
And.
Mr. Chair. I'm sorry.
Meeting is adjourned.